Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Four people were killed in a small plane crash near Girdwood. The Federal Aviation Administration reports that the pilot and three passengers were on board a Piper PA-22 that went down after takeoff Sunday near Eagle Glacier. Alaska State Troopers say a Rescue Coordination Center helicopter overflew the wreckage and confirmed the deaths, but was unable to land due to terrain at the crash site, which is at 5,000 feet. Troopers say they're attempting to reach the accident location to assess the scene and formulate a plan to recover the dead, whose names have not been released. A Fort Wainwright-based soldier died of a gunshot wound over the weekend in Fairbanks. Alaska Public Media reports that 22-year-old Jeremiah Wambacher of Missouri was a private with the 1st Striker Brigade Combat Team. U.S. Army Alaska spokesperson John Pinnell says the death occurred at an off-post apartment.
The Fairbanks Police Department are investigating the death.
FPD says Wambacher's death does not appear suspicious. It's the 8th Alaska-based soldier death this year, the majority of which have been soldiers attached to Fort Wainwright. Incidents, Pinnell says, prompted a former commander to order an Army Division of Behavioral and Social Health team to conduct an on-post assessment.
Once we get the results, we do plan to release as much as is publicly releasable. If we find that there is an issue or a problem that we can address, that's exactly what we're going to do, is we will address it.
Pinnell says the Army expects results of the assessment in January. A 14-year-old girl is missing and possibly abducted in Nome. KNOM reports that Nome police received a 911 call Sunday evening from a girl identifying herself as Daisy Rock. They say she described her surroundings to police, who launched an extensive search in Nome and the surrounding area. NPD Chief Bob Estes says that Rock is with a male companion by the name of Bryce, but have no additional information about him. The Statewide Rescue Coordination Center has dispatched a Coast Guard aircraft to aid in the search, which state troopers, the FBI, and Nome Search and Rescue are also assisting with. Parents vented frustration to the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District Board during a special meeting last night held to discuss the near drowning of three West Valley High School football players. KUAC's Robin reports.
Parents repeated their children's accounts of a team practice gone wrong. The West Valley High School football team was in the second day of a three-day preseason training camp. Amy Ann Gayek says she and her family understood the practice to be mandatory if her son was to be on the football team.
So he was definitely intimidated by the mandatory crucible camp, 3 hours a day for 3 days in order to earn his pads.
On Friday, July 26th, the coaching staff rented the swimming pool at University of Alaska Fairbanks, and those that wanted to be on the team were told to bring a sweatshirt or hoodie and come to the pool. Various witness accounts describe all the team members getting into the pool fully clothed, then helping each other remove the hoodie while in the water. And Gayek recounted what she had heard from others and said the exercise expected too much from inexperienced teens, especially those who could not swim.
My son said the coach asked who couldn't swim, and five boys raised their hands, then instructed the other team members that they had to take care of them.
At some point in the exercise, swimmers needed help, and before the coaching staff and the one lifeguard on duty could get all the players out of the pool, three had sunk to the bottom, unconscious. They were pulled out, given CPR by UAF EMTs, and taken to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital by ambulance. They were treated overnight, and one was released the next day. The second was discharged Sunday, and the last after four nights at the hospital. Natasha Cummings said her son had called her in a panic that Friday night after being traumatized by watching his teammates nearly die. She recounted a phone call she had made that night to the head coach.
And I was like, what happened? Where were you? He said he was standing there because they had lifeguard there, and the kids were in charge of helping each other.
The head coach resigned the morning after the incident. The West Valley High School principal went to the hospital as the children were taken there. She sent an email message about midnight that evening to football team parents that all preseason activities were suspended, including a team parent meeting scheduled for early Saturday morning. Cummings said that made some parents angry, as they needed information and an apology.
That's all we wanted from the get-go. All you had to show up and say, you know, parents, we know what's going on. We can't talk about it because we don't have all the facts, but we're sorry. That would have gone a long way for all of us.
Practices resumed July 31st, An assistant coach is taking over while the investigation proceeds. Superintendent Karen Gaborik says about 25 people have spoken with investigators so far.
I truly appreciate everybody's patience with the information gathering. With so many people, 42 players and the coaching staff, it takes time to conduct interviews and engage in a very thorough process.
That was repeated by board members when they came out of an executive session to get a status report from investigators and the borough legal staff. Board President Wendy Dominique read a statement.
This is a top priority for the school board. This is an emotional matter for all of us. We appreciate everyone who has contacted the school board. Your communication is of utmost importance to this board.
She said the school district will release information as it becomes available. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
State ferries are sailing again following the Friday ratification of a contract by striking members of the Alaska Marine Highway System's largest union. Coast Alaska reports that marathon mediation talks last week between state negotiators and the Inland Boatmen's Union of the Pacific yielded a three-year contract, and on Sunday, ferries began sailing again. The 11-day strike caused shutdown, affected thousands of travelers, and forced the refund of at least $3.2 million in tickets. Federal authorities have recertified the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, but state health officials say the hospital is still struggling to fill positions and increase capacity. Alaska Public Media reports that the state-owned Anchorage facility became the subject of heightened scrutiny last year after investigators discovered dozens of violations of state and federal standards. Yesterday, the Department of Health and Social Services announced the hospital had returned to compliance and been recertified by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. That means the facility can continue to receive federal funds, and state health officials call it a milestone, but say API is still operating at a fraction of its capacity. When fully staffed, it can accommodate 80 patients. Currently, state health officials say it has capacity for 46. Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum says it's been difficult to hire medical professionals to work at API, a roadblock he attributes to the state's inability to provide competitive compensation.
So this is something that's an ongoing issue we're working with classification on, trying to actually get those wages up. Getting individuals to fill those roles has been the most difficult aspect.
Last October, state health officials gave a 3 to 6 month timeline for bringing the facility back up to full capacity. Now Crum says there's no word on when that will happen. Meanwhile, the state will continue considering privatizing the state-owned facility and yesterday issued an RFP for a feasibility study of the issue. Deputy Commissioner Al Wall said the study would cover several areas.
They'll look at staffing levels. They'll look at curriculum or what their modality of treatment is for different types of patients. They'll look at acuity level of patients. They'll look at cash flow. They'll look at everything. And then they make recommendations as to what would be the best way to answer those.
A private company called WellPath Solutions has managed the hospital under a no-bid contract since February. I'm Dan Bross.